We are continuing in 1 John, the second chapter. What we're going to be finding over the, however long it takes us, seven tests to know that you know God. And I want to make sure you understand something. The book of 1 John, there was a letter written to saved, believing Christians. They believed. They had come to believe in Jesus Christ. They were saved. They were baptized. And so the thrust of this, when we talk about knowing God in this particular letter, is not a matter of whether you're saved or not. It is a matter of whether you have fellowship with God, whether you are walking in the darkness or walking in the light. That's the key. If you go the other direction, you will be confused as all get out. The thing here is that we don't mix this up. Does he talk about people who have a false profession? Yes, and that does apply. And so right off the bat, we're going to understand that he is talking about a test of whether or not you're walking the light and have fellowship with God, or you're not. And so that is his test. Not whether or not you're saved. You know how you know that you're saved? You ask him and he said yes. That's the way you know. If you're relying on feelings, you're in trouble. Because I wake up many mornings not feeling a bit saved. Do you? If you're relying on your good works, well, the same thing. It'll be an if matter. So he's not talking about salvation, but he's talking about the fellowship that God has desires through us, with us. And so this morning when I say, are you sure you know God? There's two levels to this. The first is we're talking to saved Christians who are thinking that they're in fellowship with God and their life is right. How many folks today are not here, have not been in church, that are professing saved children of God, but their works don't show it? We can't tell them that they're not saved, but we can tell them that they are not in fellowship with God. Now, you may be here today, and you've never had that experience of asking Jesus Christ into your life. And if that's the case, then you are definitely walking in darkness. And you definitely don't know Jesus. You don't know God. So we'll be looking at verses in the second chapter of 1 John, verses 3 through 6. Now some speculate about God. And this is the route that most people take in when they're trying to know God. They imagine what God is like, then they hold that image in their mind and they try to live by what that image is. He's this caretaking heavenly Father who just pats and he's just love, and that's all, you know, and that's their mindset. They have their own teachings and their own images of what God is like. And they govern their lives by that image. They do it. We do that. We put our God in a little box and we say, here's what he wants from me. It may be different for Dan, it may be different for Michael, but for me, this is my lens. This is the edge. I'm gonna be all right with him. I'm gonna be in fellowship with him and it'll be fine. Because I have defined what God wants for me instead of God defining what he wants for me. And some try to find God in some mystical or emotional experience. They seek to know the spiritual world and its focus through spiritists and astrology, seances and magic, and a host of other man-made magical, mystical experiences. little bit of charismatic there. We got to feel it. We got to see it. We got to experience it. And then we'll know if we're right with God. I know Dan isn't right with God. You know how I know that? He came to fix that air conditioner yesterday, and he laid his hands on that thing, and all of a sudden it just started. Well, but what if it hadn't? Then I guess you wouldn't be right with God, would you? You see how that works? It doesn't work. And so we got to know. If I say, yeah, me and God are tight, you got to have some tests to see if you're in fellowship. Because let me tell you something. You know how many times John talks about liars? When you tell yourself you're okay with God and you're not, guess what that makes you? A liar. Well, I go to church every Sunday. I get my money and I'm faithful and I do stuff around the church. I teach Sunday school. I do this and do that. It doesn't matter. Are you right with God? Are you in fellowship with God? And so this message is going to affect all of us here. Not just the ones out on Facebook land, but it's going to affect all of us because we're going to have to take these tests. And there's seven of them. This is the first one. The finding out if we're really right with God or not. If we really have fellowship with Him. And maybe you'll even find out along the way that you never even accepted a Savior to begin with. And maybe that's the reason why your life is not right with God. So we look in verse 3. Do we keep God's commandments? And by this we are knowing that we have known and continue to know Him, if we might be keeping His commandments. No man has ever crossed into the spirit world and returned. No man except Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to save man from perishing and to give man an abundant life both now and eternally. Jesus said that God had sent Him to make God known. Jesus was sent to make God known. Look in John 6:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent." He wants you to know God through Him. And this is something very significant. If we are to know God in any way, we must know Jesus Christ. We got to know Christ. God's revealed Himself and made Him known through Himself known through Jesus Christ and through Christ alone, not through anything else. Therefore, to know God, we must know Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. And how do we know if we know God? Do you know Jesus? You want to know if you know God? Then you better know Jesus. Because you'll never be able to know God any way else except through Him. This verse says explicitly that we know God if we keep God's commandments. Now, hold on a second. Keep God's commandments. What commandments? Which ones? All of them? Every single one of them? Y'all doing that? Well, how do you know if you know God if you're not keeping every single one of them? It is a question that gets people a little confused. Let's look in 1 John 3:23. We'll get to there eventually. And this, John explains himself, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the very first commandment. So if you're going to keep the commandment, you got to keep that one. All right? If you believe, on his name. If you came to a point in time when you gave your heart and your life to Jesus Christ and you believed on his name, guess what? You're a saved child of God, and you can know because you kept that first commandment. Pretty good. That's the main one, isn't it? But then there's another one there. And love one another as he gave us commandment. That may be a little problem, isn't it? To love one another. Next week we'll be talking a lot about loving one another and what the word love truly means in Scripture. There are two things that's said right in this passage. The first one is, to know God, we must believe on his Son, Jesus Christ. If we believe in Christ, then we come to know God, at least in a relationship manner. For Jesus Christ came to earth to reveal God. By believing in Jesus Christ, we keep God's commandment. It is my will that all believe. And so, if you've had that experience, that saving experience of asking Jesus Christ in your heart and your life, then you can know that you are a saved child of God. But if you want to know, if you've had that experience and you want to know if you're in fellowship with God, they may not cut it. You may be a saved believer or child of God, but you may not be in fellowship. And love one another as he gave us commandment. Love covers all the commandments of God, by the way. If we love one another, we will not hurt or cause pain for anyone else. We'll not offend or sin against one another. We'll be keeping all the commandments of God. And this is what exactly the Scripture is declaring to us. That's what it's saying. That we should keep his commandments. And therefore we'll know that we know him. That we have known him and we will continue to know him. Now, it doesn't change the fact, if you're a saved child of God, it doesn't change the fact that you're his. But you may not know it. You may be walking in the darkness so much that you don't know it. Or you may be a child of God who's walking in darkness and then saying, no, I'm okay. God's okay with me doing this, this, and this, and this. John calls you a liar. That you can't be. As a matter of fact, it goes into verse 4. Let's look in verse 4. The professing man, the one who professes to be right with God. We all know these folks. They're the ones that me and God is good. And no matter what I do, God's going to excuse me. He's going to forgive me for that. So they're professing. The one who is saying, I am knowing him while not keeping his commandments. He is a liar and the truth is not in him. Don't misunderstand that truth is not Jesus. It is the truth of him really not being in fellowship with God. He says, I am knowing him, and not keeping his commandments. This person makes a false profession of what he thinks about God is false. He thinks that he can just keep sinning and God's just going to keep forgiving and there's never any consequences. He thinks that he's somehow excluded from God's justice. That God overlooks the sins of his children. His image of God and the idea that he is right with God is simply not true. The truth is not in him. He is lying. You know what's worse, lying to someone else? Lying to yourself. Because after a while you start believing it. that you start believing your own press releases. You start believing that you're good and that you're right inside God's eyes. And that's the reason why people today don't get on their hands and knees and beg for God for forgiveness for their sins, because they think they're okay, and they're not. They're liars. The truth is not in them. Because I'm all right with God. I come to church, I do my duty, and I'm faithful. So I'm all right. Are you? Am I? These people are not, they're false, they're counterfeit, and not genuine. How can we tell? Because he does not keep the commandments of God. Maybe he hasn't truly believed in Christ. Maybe he has. Maybe he's not loving his brother like God commands. Maybe he's not walking like Jesus walked. Maybe he's not obeying God nor doing what God says to do. And the verse is clear. The person is a liar and the truth is not in him. And his profession, not his profession of faith, but his profession of "I am okay with God" is wrong. It's a lie. I don't know how many people that I've talked to and they don't understand that difference. "Well, I'm saved. I'm good." No, you may not be. You may be going to heaven, but you're not what you're supposed to be. You're not what God wants you to be. You're walking in the darkness and not in the light. You do not have fellowship with God. You are at a distance. You're estranged from God because of your sin and because of your life. In Matthew 7:21, it says this: "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Number one, what is his will? That everyone be saved. One of the first things you got to do is truly believe. Ask him into your heart and your life. Ask him to save you. Confess of your sins. And then he does it. But how many people come up and they'll say, "Yeah, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior," and they haven't even asked. They just did it. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There comes a point in time when you have to get on your knees and you have to beg God, "Please, Lord, I am a sinner. I need your salvation. I need your grace. I need your mercy." And then he says, "Okay, I'll save you. Come into the kingdom. Be a child of mine." You've got to have that experience. I don't care where it's at. I don't care about the words. All I care about is that you have that saving experience with Jesus Christ personally, because you'll never get to know God unless you do. The rest of it's pretend. Now, I'm not, and then a person who makes a false profession, there's two things they'll do. They'll stay in church the rest of their life thinking they're okay and they're not, or they will go out into the world and forget about that profession and live like the devil. Or maybe they'd have a true profession, a true salvation experience. Look in Titus 1:16. It says, "They profess that they know God, but in words they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate." They profess to know God. Maybe they do. Maybe they've truly been saved by God's grace and mercy unto salvation, but they go out and live denying in their works, denying God. Are you saved? Are you a member of a church? Been baptized? Well, yeah, I've been. I was baptized in Olive Hill in 1983. All right. Well, when's the last time you've been in church? Well, 1983. What? Well, what have you been doing yourself? Well, I own the liquor store down here. You can just go on and on and tell their story about how far away from God their life has been. Nothing about their life shows God anymore. They're professing God, but it's false. And any way you look at it, it is a lie to say they know God. In verse 5, it talks about the man who keeps God's word. What about those who are walking in the light and keeping God's word? In verse 5 it says, "But whoever may be keeping his word truly in him, the love of God have made you complete." There's that perfect thing again. "And continue to be complete." In other words, it was complete at one point, and it's going to continue to be complete. Once it's complete, it's always complete. "In this, we are knowing that we are in Him." Whoever keepeth His word. The only way to know God is to get near Him. If you want to know and be intimate with God and walk close to Him, you got to get rid of the sin, and then you got to get near Him. You got to study Him. You got to learn all you can about His will, His desires, His wants, all about His nature, His thoughts, and His behavior. We got to know God. But how can we do this when God is in the spiritual world and a whole other dimension of being that we can't even see? A world that's removed from this world. And the way we do that is through Jesus Christ. That's how we get to know Him. The person who keeps God's word has the love of God perfected in his life. What does that mean? Well, when we draw near to God and we begin to keep His word, we begin to establish a fellowship with God. A fellowship with Him. Other words, we've got to stop doing things against His word and start doing what He asks. And the more we do, the closer we get. It's just like when a boy meets a girl and he begins to draw near her. You know, he begins to know her. They talk, they get on the phone, and, you know, they talk and everything, and he develops an affection for her. And the more he associates with her, the more he loves her. And so it is with God. The more we draw near to Him and keep His word and please Him, the more we learn about Him, the more we love Him. This is why you need to read this. This is all about Him. You want to know God? Learn about Christ. Learn about what He's done for you. What He wants to do for you. Learn about the blessings in His life. Learn about all these things that God wants in your heart, in your life. Open it up. Read it. Study it. Take it to your heart. And come close and draw nigh to God. The word keep. Keeping. Is a word, continuous action. It's not a one-time event. Well, I did. I read my Bible once. It was pretty good. I read all the way through the Bible once. I don't need to read it again. It's a continuous action. That's like saying, well, I told Miss Terry I loved her when we got married, and that should be enough. I took out the trash one time. That should be enough. That struck a nerve. No! That's not enough. It should be continually. And if we're going to keep His word, we're going to have to keep it continually. Don't stop. It's not a one-time thing where you can say, well, I'm done now. I'm through studying. Man, when we go back to seminary, we're going to tell them, hey, I've already read everything. I know everything. I don't even need to come to school. What do you think they're going to do?
They're going to laugh at me.
No, they're going to laugh at me too. Trust me. You can't stop. You can't get enough. You can't draw close enough to God in this life. And the only way you do it is through His word. The obedient person is one who knows God and loves God. And the more you know God, the more you will obey God. The harder it will be for you to sin against Him. That's just simply the fact. His love, if we keep God's Word day to day, then we learn more and more about God. We learn to love Him more and more. His love becomes completed, perfected, and fulfilled in us. And the obedient person is the one who knows God and loves God. And no matter what a person may profess, no matter how religious a person may be, if he does not obey God, he does not know God. He is not walking his life, living his life in the light. You know what? Neither does he really know love God. And then we get to verse 6. In verse 6, we see he lives up to the responsible man, and he lives up to his profession. The man who lives up to his profession. I am a saved child of God. I'm a member of Olive Hill Missionary Baptist Church. And you're going to be judged by that statement on how you live your life. This church will be judged by that statement about how you live your life. Is it in a godly way? Are you drawing close to God, walking in light, or are you walking in darkness? We got some folks right now in our church walking in darkness, professing to be a member of this church. It's a problem. Maybe some of us. Yeah. It's a problem. When we say that we're followers of God, we're followers of Christ, we have to act like we're followers of Christ. Because if we don't, whose reputation is stained? Christ. The person who professes Jesus Christ, who claims that he knows God, is obligated to walk as Jesus Christ walked. He's in debt to walk as Christ walked. You know, the person who professes Christ, who claims that he knows God, is obligated to live their life the way Christ wants us to live, following him. He's in debt to walk as Christ walked. Well, we got to ask the question then, how did Christ walk on this earth? He walked by believing and trusting God, by worshiping and praying to God, by fellowshipping and communing with God, by giving and sacrificing all he was and all he had to God. He's seeking and following after God. He was teaching and telling others about God. He was loving and caring for others just as God said to do. He obeyed and kept all of God's commandments. That's the way Christ lived just in this life. It's the example for us. Will we be able to follow this completely? No. Should we try? Absolutely. And when one becomes a Christian, here's the key thing. When one becomes a Christian and you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and your life, there is a change in your relationship, not only with God, you become one of His, but there is a change in your relationship with sin. Something fundamentally changes on the inside. Sin is not eliminated in the believer, but his relationship is changed when he becomes a Christian. How is that to sin? Well, a Christian will no longer love sin as he once did. A Christian no longer brags about his sin as he once did. A Christian no longer plans to sin as he once did. A Christian no longer fondly remembers the sins as he once did. A Christian never fully enjoys his sin as he once did. A Christian is no longer comfortable in habitual sin as he once was. Do I get an ouch? That hurts. And if it hurts to a point where you realize that maybe, just maybe, there is something wrong with not only your fellowship, but maybe your relationship. If a saved child of God has, if you've never had changed your relationship with sin, that you've never hated sin, that there's not anything inside that changed when you ask Him into your heart and your life, then you've got some issues. You've got some things to think through. Charles Spurgeon once said this: "The Christian no longer loves sin. It is the object of his sternest horror. He no longer regards it as a mere trifle. He no longer plays with it or talks of it with unconcern. Sin is dejected in the Christian's heart, though it is not ejected. Sin may enter the heart, fight for dominion, but it cannot sit on the throne." If God truly changed your heart, sin cannot take possession of that heart. I'm not saying this, by the way. This is John. He's writing this under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. You just can't have it both ways. You can't have sin dominate your life and then believe that God is the center of your life. It doesn't work. It cannot work. And if you think it does, to quote John, you are a liar. And the truth is not in you. I don't know your heart this morning. I don't know how you're dealing with your sins. I just know you have some. I'm not about to give you a list of them, because you'll turn around and give me a list of mine. But I know you sin. We all do. But it's how that we respond to that sin. Are we planning to sin? Do we love the sin? Do we brag about our sin? Do we enjoy our sin? Is there any bit of guilt, guilty conscience in it? Or have we walked so far into the darkness that we don't even care, that we've got a seared conscience and it no longer bothers us? I don't know the answer to that. But this is the first test to see if we're in fellowship with God and that we know Him the way we're supposed to know Him. Are we keeping His commandments? And the first commandment, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Because you can't get to God but through Jesus. And all of this will not matter if you've never done that, because you're not one of His to begin with. And I don't care how long you've been a member of this church or any church, how long you've made a profession, if you've never asked Jesus to save you, if you've never asked for forgiveness of your sins, if you've never humbled yourself and said, "Lord, I can't do this alone," you've never said, Lord, save me. If you've never had that experience with Jesus at some point in time in your life, you probably are a false professor of your salvation. That's the number one thing. That's the first commandment. Know Jesus. Come to know Him. And by Him, you can know the Father. And what if you're here today and you've made that decision? Maybe many years ago. But are your sins dominating your heart? Are you no longer walking in the light but walking in the dark, and you're really liking it? You got some issues. You got some things to deal with. I can't deal with them for you. You have to deal with them with God. So in a few moments when we have an invitation, you'll have that opportunity. It's my prayer that the Holy Spirit convict every one of our hearts to a point where we're examining, Lord, we're testing our fellowship with God. Are we really as good as we think we are? Are we really as tight with Jesus as we think we are? Are we just pretending and just walking in the darkness? Those are questions that I have to answer for myself and no one else. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of scared to. But we must, if we're ever going to walk in the light and have fellowship with Him again. It's questions that must be answered. You know who knows the answer? God does, for your heart and your life. So as we prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I just know that God's going to deal with your heart this morning in some way. And I pray that you will allow God into your life and to help you take the path back, walking in darkness with Him, walking in light with Him. As we stand and as we sing this morning, you give Him your heart and your life. If you're here today, you've never asked Jesus Christ to save your soul. You've never had that saving relationship with Him, the experience with Him. If you haven't, you need to sort out what God's dealing with your heart about. And you just need to ask Him. Get it right with Him. And if you're here today and you're a saved child of God, but you're living and thinking that you're okay, and you're actually living in darkness, you need to.